reviewing that here for those who weren't able to do that. Maybe they didn't have the material or whatever the case is. So could I have a volunteer to please read Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 19? And while we read it, there's four by faith statements in this passage. I'd like for you to, if you can write down the verse or whatever, there's a spot on your pre-class activity for that. So do I have a volunteer to read Hebrews 11, 8 through 19? Daniel?
8 through 19. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with them of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been out thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a greater or better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive.
All right, thank you. So, as I mentioned, there's four by faith statements in this passage. Anybody tell me what one of those was? Yes, ma'am.
Abraham obeyed when called. That was in verse 8.
Verse 8, right. So, in a minute, we'll go through a timeline of Abraham's story, but this is basically the call to action of Abraham, that he's called out to leave his home, and that's one of the first by faith statements. That is really small, I'm sorry. But luckily we have a Bible, so you can read it in there as well. So as a second one.
What to an alien land?
Yep, and verse 9.
Which?
Probably can't read either. But he dwelt in a foreign land of a land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. What's the next one?
Sarah received power to conceive.
Right, so it's not just Abraham that's highlighted in this passage, but Sarah with conceiving a child. And then that's three. So what's the last one?
Abraham offered
Isaac. Right, so after years and years of waiting for a son, he's asked to offer up Isaac, and by faith, he went through with that, and at the very last minute, he was saved by God offered him a ram to offer instead. So these are the four by faith statements that we're going to dive into a little bit deeper. Hebrews 11, 17, sorry. But before we do that, if you didn't have an opportunity to, I'm going to real quick run through kind of Abraham's timeline. When preparing this lesson, it was kind of hard to figure out what exactly I want to focus on because Abraham himself has about 10 chapters in Genesis with lots of material. So I think it'll help our discussion a little bit if we real quickly go through his timeline. Now, judging by how small the PowerPoint is right there, you're probably not going to be able to read the PowerPoint that I have, but if you have a handout, the timeline is on the handout as well on the pre-class activity. And I'm basically just going to read word for word from there. We'll just talk about that. So, it's not as bad as I thought, but it's still pretty small. Genesis 12 is The first place where we have Abraham, and where we see Abraham, this is his call to action, as was said in verse 8 of Hebrews 11, that in Genesis, Abraham is called to leave his home at the age of 75. And it's at this point we see God make his covenant with Abram. Does anybody know what that covenant was? He promised him three things.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep, so when I was young, they always said land, nation, and seed blessing. Land, nation, seed, blessing. So it's three. He's promised him land. He promised him a seed and descendants as numerous as the sky. And then he also promised him that through him, all peoples of the earth would be blessed. And we'll see that come up quite a few times throughout Abraham's story. In Genesis 13, Lot and Abram decide to separate. Abram goes to Canaan and Lot to Sodom. And God, at that point, God tells Abram that the land that he sees will be his forever, and that his offspring will be as plentiful as the dust of the earth. Skipping to Genesis 15. Oops, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that I didn't do that. There we go. Sorry. Okay. Overzealous. Genesis 15, Abram is visited by God in a vision, and Abram asks God if he should have a child with his servant. At this point that they had known that at the roughly the age of 75 that Sarah was barren, and he had been promised descendants, and Abram didn't see how that was possible. So he said, well, maybe I should have, he asked God if he should have a child with his servant. But God reassures him of the promise he made and that Sarah would bear him a child. And he also tells him that he's going to deliver the people to the land and bless them with great possessions. In Genesis 16, we still see that Sarah is barren. It's highlighted again. And she blames the Lord for this. And she decides that she feels a bit of pressure, and she tells Abram to conceive a child with Hagar, her servant. And this leads to a whole slew of other issues that, not necessarily the topic that we're jumping into today, but Abram does conceive a child with Hagar. In 17, let's see, chapter 17, God promises Abraham that he will be the father of many nations and that his descendants will receive the land of Canaan. That's at this time, they also changed their name from Abram and Sarai to Abram and Sarah. And it's also this point that God commands Abraham to circumcise all his men currently and moving forward. And we also have Abraham laughing at the thought of him and Sarah having a child at 100 years old. But God affirms that their son will be the one to establish his covenant. Sorry, clicker happy. Genesis 18, the Lord visits Abraham and Sarah in the form of three strangers and say that Sarah's going to have a child within the next year. And Sarah overhears this, and she laughs at the news. And then God responds, is anything too hard for the Lord? And Sarah's fearful, and she denies that she said that, but God says, yes, you did, but nonetheless, you will be a child in the next year. So, I'm not used to having the power of the clicker. In Genesis 21, we finally see that Sarah becomes pregnant. Isaac is born and circumcised as is commanded. And at this time, Abraham and Sarah are both around 100 years old. And then we fast forward a few chapters to Genesis 22, which is the last by faith statement that's recorded in Hebrews 11, that God commands Abraham to take Isaac to Moriah and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. And Abraham binds Isaac, puts him on the altar, and raises a knife, ready to plunge it into his son. And God at that point provides a ram for sacrifice instead of Isaac. And it's at this point an angel comes to Abraham and declares that because of his faith, he reassures the promises that were made all the way back in Genesis 12. that Abraham and his descendants will be blessed. They will be as numerous as the stars in the sky, and they will take possessions of the cities of their enemies, and through his offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. So that was a real, real quick highlight of the timeline of Abraham. So going over to our in-class material, first thing I have there is, and we've already discussed this a little bit, but what are the three parts of the covenant that was made with Abraham?
Land, nation, people.
Right, so we already discussed this. So the land, God promised that he would give Abraham and his people a new home and a land to live. And then the next one is the descendants and seed. He said he'd give them a child, a large family, and many, many descendants. I believe he said as numerous as the stars in the sky. And then blessing. He said he blessed Abraham and all peoples of the world through him. What did he mean by blessing all people of the world through him?
Well, in forgetting whether it's Galatians or Romans, but the Apostle Paul reveals that the promised blessing was Christ. Mm-hmm. And so he's talking about the coming salvation through Jesus Christ himself, of which the sacrifice of Isaac was emblematic of the giving of one's only begotten son.
Right, exactly. So, and we'll come back to that a little bit here at the end. But we really are here to focus on why Abraham is a hero of faith and why he's discussed in Hebrews 11. And so, as was discussed in Hebrews 11, there are a few times where Abraham has notably showed his faith. As we've already discussed, there was the leaving and settling in a new land. I don't know about anyone else. I'm getting ready to move, and I'm moving 5 minutes down the road, and I got a lot of stress and anxiety from that. That's just the kind of person I am. But what Abraham did was way more significant. Does anyone know why what Abraham did was so significant? Daniel? Right. So, you know, what if I told you, hey, man, just drive down the road and just keep driving, and then eventually you'll feel you need to stop and just do that, you know, pack up your whole life. I mean, that's basically what Abraham was told, to pack up his whole life. He was roughly 75 years old, and I do know that Bible ages are a little different than the lifespan that we have today, but, you know, even it was even noted in the scriptures that 75 was an older age. He was well-established. He had family. He had land. He had riches in where he was, and God told him to take everything and leave. So I can imagine that took a lot of faith. I can't imagine doing that myself, but nonetheless, Abraham did. What else is something that took faith that he did? Or Sarah as well? Right? Yep. So Sarah became pregnant, and they had faith that God, when he promised that he would have a child, that they would have a child, that he would provide for them. One that wasn't highlighted in Hebrews 11 to me was the circumcising of all men. To me, that has to take a lot of faith, and not to dive too deep into that topic, but it would have to take a lot of faith and commitment to do that, especially in olden times without the medicine and things that we have today. Then as we talked, Sarah becoming pregnant, I'm sure that took a lot of faith. And we'll discuss why I think Sarah becoming pregnant is really one of the kind of pivotal points in just a second. And then lastly, as we discussed, Isaac's sacrifice was a huge, huge thing for him. We'll as well dive deeper into that here in just a minute. So those are a few times that he showed faith. Like everything has a flip side. Were there some times where Abraham and Sarah lacked faith? And I really think this is important to hit on because he's written about in Hebrews as a hero of faith. But if we go through his timeline, we see that he messed up. And I think that's an encouragement to me that he's written about in the Bible, and he's the father of many nations and all this, and he still messed up. He still questioned God at some points. Off the top of your head, anybody know what some of those are?
When he laughed.
Yeah. When him and Sarah, there were actually multiple occasions, right? Sarah laughed at one point, and he also said that there's no way that she'll have a child at this age.
When he lied that Sarah was his sister.
Right, right. So there were two times that we didn't really hit over, that we didn't go over, that happened in Genesis, that there were, he went into a new land, and he was fearful of telling there was a king and a pharaoh, that he was fearful of telling them that Sarah was his wife, because they were afraid he was going to kill him. And I think on his part, that showed a lack of faith, because God had sent him on this journey, and he had the faith to leave, but he lacked faith to think that once he got out here, that God wasn't going to protect him. So, yeah, I had that one on there as well. Yes, sir.
To me, perhaps the biggest one, among others, is that he didn't trust God to fulfill his promise, mm-hmm. and took Hagar,
yes, sir,
to conceive the child Ishmael.
Yes, sir.
And look at the consequences from that, because Ishmael, among others, is the father of all his brothers to the east, mm-hmm. who oppose to this day the Jews.
Yes. So that's a big thing. And I find it really interesting as well that, you know, that it worked out that way. But when Abraham had that child with Hagar, Hagar was scared because Sarah turned on her and became angry and jealous of her. And the God offered Hagar and Ishmael protection. And gave them a good life, and it led to, as you mentioned, things that we are still dealing with today. And then, going on that, as we mentioned, that Abraham and Sarah question the fact that Sarah will have a child in her old age, and she laughs when she hears this. Now, I can imagine at 100 years old, even by Bible age standards, that's got to be a really, really old age to have a child. So it's just really, really, and if someone told me that, I'd probably like, hey, you know, even at the age of like 60, like, Nathan, you're going to have another kid. I don't have a kid right now. I can't even imagine that. But, you know, that would probably be really, I'd be like, yeah, you're crazy, whatever. Like, no way it's possible. So I could definitely see why they would think that. But I think one of the really important things that God said is, is anything too hard for me? You know, we talk about that, but, you know, nothing is impossible for the Lord. So we've kind of covered those, but what I'd like to do now, and it looks like we have, I'm like running through this material really quick, so we'll have a little bit of extra, it looks like we might have a little bit extra time, so what I'd like to do is, the next thing that I want to discuss a little bit is how Abraham's actions in his life, whether they were acts of faith or acts of lack of faith, but how they related to the promises that were made in Genesis 12. Because Genesis 12 is Abraham's call to action. He leaves his home, and he makes decisions along the way based on what has been told, what God has promised him when he commanded him to leave. So I want to discuss that. here in just a minute. But why don't we take maybe like 5 minutes? You can think through it over yourself. Maybe you can discuss with someone right next to you, and discuss how his actions, faithful actions or lack of faith, were related to the three promises made to him in Genesis 12.
So you're wanting his specific actions that were derived from the three promises.
Right, how they relate to it.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll wrap up and give this opportunity for anyone who wants to share. You can share what you thought. Now, whatever the scenario you have, tell me what was the aspect of Abraham's or Sarah's life, the action that they did, and how it relates to one of the promises that they had. Daniel.
This is more of kind of like a broad answer, but in verse 13, it's written just that all of these heroes of faith they died in vain. They did not receive the promises at that time, but saw them and greeted them from afar. And all of the things that Abraham was promised were not going to be given at the moment of promise. A son, that was going to take a little bit of time. The nation, that was going to take a lot of time. All of the descendants, that was something that he was not going to see when it was given. And to trust God and to have that faith that this is going to happen for me, just not right now. And to be able to hold on to that and believe in that and to trust God all the way through is just something.
Yeah, and we'll actually hit on that here in a few minutes as well. So that's great. A good option, or a good option, opinion, thought. Anyone else?
Well, we kind of struggled with this question, but obviously there's a spiritual aspect to these promises that we'll get to, I think, and the physical side. But obviously he was led into the land, but he did not receive the land.
Right.
His descendants received the land when they entered with Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
He was promised a nation, but the nation didn't come until after the Jews entered with
right.
Joshua. And then, of course, the promised blessing is purely spiritual.
Right.
So he didn't get the blessings, he didn't get the nation, he didn't get the land, but he went to the land.
Right. And what I really am trying to hammer home is that he was promised something. God, he made a covenant, God made a covenant with him and told him to leave his home, and he was going to give him these things. He didn't give him a timeline, he didn't say when he was, but he was told something, and he had the faith to go and do that because that's got what God told him. And so what I'm trying to highlight is the actions that he took in his life, the actions that are highlighted in Hebrews and other things that we've discussed, go with the promises that he was made, that he did these actions because that's what he was promised. Yes, sir.
So, you know, the whole children thing, you know, the conception of Isaac is related to the fact that God said, you're going to have a nation.
Right.
And so, you know, got to start with one, I guess.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the lack of faith with Hagar is related to that same promise, that he didn't trust the specific promise of the nation and thought he had been taken
right.
into his own hands.
Right. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Well, of course, the huge one is the command to sacrifice Isaac.
Right.
Here's Abraham. He knows this is the promised child. It is through this child that the descendants would be chosen, which has huge implications for us today because we're a chosen one. We have become descendants of Abraham. But yet he obeyed that commandment, trusting his faith that God would fulfill his promises for the promised blessing, for the descendants and everything, thinking in his mind, not knowing how God was going to pull this off, that God would bring him back.
But he had faith, right? Yeah, he had faith God would provide. Anyone else? I do think that no one else? I think that's a great segue into the next question, that one of the things when you read through Genesis, through Abraham's life, it keeps on coming up, the child. Having a child. Multiple times, Abraham asked God, when am I going to have a child? When are you going to give me a son? Should I have a child with a servant? He asked that at least on one occasion. And then, as we've discussed, he went through at his wife's encouragement to have a child with Hagar. Multiple times he's asked, and he's told, I will provide you a child. Why was this child so, so important to Abraham and Sarah?
You asked us how we want to discuss.
You can tell me. I'll ask you. Say that one more time. Right, so that has implications for us, as that's the lineage that Christ was going to come through. So that's related to the blessing of all nations, right?
What else?
This is, I can't say the coolest, but this is a really cool thing about Scripture right here. Mm-hmm. Because we are the chosen ones of God. We are the descendants of Abraham. And the Jews are thinking, we are the descendants of Abraham. And so the Apostle Paul says, no, you are not. It's those who are chosen. So when you look here, the chosen descendants come through Isaac. Ishmael was the firstborn of Abraham, but Ishmael wasn't chosen. Esau was the firstborn of Jacob, but he wasn't chosen. And what Paul is saying is, God has chosen his children under the new covenant and not the bloodline, because and therefore Isaac's important, because we're all chosen through the lineage of Isaac.
Yep. And I think also on a more personal level for Abraham, it was he was promised land, a seed, and blessing, and the child was something that he could participate in. He could have a part of. And, I feel that he, and as we saw, he tried to will that by having a child with Hagar. And so it was really important to him because it was something that he could immediately see. I think it was also important to him for that because he's doing all these actions on faith. And he's like, well, if I'm going to have a child, like, I'm going to be alive for that, right? I have to be alive to have a child, right? And so, I think that's was really important to him. And then also, as we've already discussed multiple times, that there's no way that you can have descendants as numerous as the sky if you don't have a child to start that through. There's no way that all nations are going to be blessed through your lineage if you don't have a lineage to start that. So I think at least for the two, the seed, descendants, and blessing that God told him that he would receive, that having a child was pivotal to that.
I just think at that time, it's easy for us to look back and say, Abraham having a child is so important because that is the lineage that Christ came from. Mm-hmm. But from Abraham's point of view, looking forward, is that in that time, your bloodline was everything. Your name was everything that you had. And for you to have that child, that bloodline, that name can't continue unless you have a child. And I think Abraham realized that. So yeah, that was the importance of having a child, because my name and my bloodline can't continue.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, coming full circle to Hebrews and Hebrews 11 being the study of heroes of faith, what, in your opinion, makes Abraham a hero of faith?
We mentioned, I think, on Wednesday with Enoch, particularly, kind of the length of time that he walked with God, hundreds of years, and talk about the endurance, and even connecting that back to Hebrews chapter 10 and the whole context of that's exactly what these readers need. He says, you're in need of endurance. And I think Abraham, again, they're probably famous point for all of them, but, Abraham kind of, he had having his doubts, having times where he did fail. And then you look at kind of a length of time where, he wasn't told everything all up front. He was kind of general promise at first, and then things kind of got more specific. But he kept trusting in God, and even after his failures, even after setbacks, even when he made his own life pretty difficult for himself, mm-hmm. he continued to trust. And as he learned more, trusted more, and kind of culminating in the kind of great final event of sacrificing Isaac. But it is a picture of endurance in the face of external difficulties and in the face of his own personal failure. And so in the big picture, we see that kind of the life of a faithful person.
You basically got all my bullet points in one statement. So I saw a couple other hands, so anybody else got something?
Well, I'll say this in a briefer form, but the bottom line is there is no faith without faithfulness. As we talked about, it's belief combined with confidence and trust in that which we believe such that we act upon it to obey God. Mm-hmm. There is no faith without faithfulness, and our faithfulness is always challenged by temptations and the trauma and the difficulties of this life. So the heroes of faith are those who overcame their challenges to be faithful to God. And guess who else are the heroes of faith? They're in this room.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole point of studying this, is to study these heroes of faith from the Bible and mirror our lives to these the way these people behaved throughout their life. And that's a good segue into what can we take away from Abraham's life? If we want to be a hero of faith, what can we take away from Abraham's story? Yes, ma'am.
Well, just that whatever most of the things God promised, like, he didn't ever see.
Right.
You know, that whatever we're called to do, we just do it. Not because we think we're going to see why ever in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
We won't ever see a lot of times. Sometimes we do, but a lot of times we don't. You know, we do things. Maybe you tell somebody about the Bible or whatever and never see them again.
Yeah.
Who knows if that made an impact? It doesn't mean we should stop. Because God's blessings, the time span's not our little lifetime here. It's much longer.
Yep. Robert, did you have something?
Yeah, it's thinking about the fact that, you know, again, faith is from the heart, and it's our attitude toward life, and therefore it produces works and what we want to do in order to make it active, that it's okay to make mistakes. And Abraham made mistakes, and we make mistakes, and don't give up, right? So just keep persevering and keep going forward.
Yeah, I definitely find that really encouraging because we all make mistakes. Mr. Gary?
Would it be fair to say that Abraham loved the Lord?
Yes.
They never hear. You just never hear that.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, sermons countless. You hear faith, you hear trust, you know, and you hear the action and all that. But what drives that? That which is on the top of the ladder.
Absolutely. So, wrapping everything up into one thing, that do we have a promise? Us here sitting today, we have a promise. What's that promise?
Eternal life,
right? So, you know, we have been promised something just like Abraham. And as has been already mentioned a couple of times, we may never see in the time that we're alive that come to fruition. We could pass away. There's no guarantee of the rest of the day, right? Many Christians have passed before us, and many more. We don't know when Jesus is coming again. But just like Abraham, we need to live our lives faithful to God, believing and trusting and loving in what he says, and living a life pleasing to him, just like Abraham did. I think one of the things is I'd originally had this kind of diagram that linked all the covenants and things together. But one of the things that I find cool in my mind is that Abraham had been promised the land, the seed, and descendants, and through him all people of the earth would be blessed. Now, as we've already said multiple times, this was alluding to his lineage would be the lineage that Jesus came from. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, what did that create? What do we call that? We call that the new covenant, the new, I think it's been referred to as well. But that is what we're living under. That's what we look to. We have, because Jesus died on the cross, we have the hope of eternal salvation. We have the ability to have our sins forgiven because he bore them all for us. So we are linked all the way back to Genesis 12, that the way we are living right now is linked to what was promised to Abraham. Anybody got any comments, questions, concerns on any of that?
In Galatians 3.
Yeah, the new covenant?
I'll read it.
Okay, perfect.
For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're
in. Yep.
We are there.
Yes, ma'am.
And that was the important one. It's just heirs according to promise. And there's another passage that we are the children of promise, just like Isaac was the promised child.
Well, I would say that, you know, your question about how the promises made to Abraham similar to the promises made to us. Well, I think the point that's being made is it's the same promise.
Yes.
We are the nation. You know, we are we benefit from the blessing of the seed of Abraham, and in terms of the land, the Hebrew writer makes it a point here to say he and all these and us are looking for a homeland, looking for a country, a better country, a heavenly one, looking for that city that God has prepared for His people. So, I mean, the promises to Abraham are the promises to us. That's what this is all about.
Yes, sir.
Just one more thought is that what we can learn from Abraham, especially in reference to the potential sacrifice of Isaac, is that our human minds can't necessarily comprehend what God is anticipating for it to kind of happen, because so much of the whole story of Abraham is him waiting to have a child, to finally get a child, only for God to turn around and be like, okay, now you got to sacrifice him. And I can't even imagine to be in that situation, but for God to realize that this is going to be a mirror image for what I am going to do for humanity.
Yep.
And for Abraham not to realize the magnitude of what that moment that he is in is incredible. And for us to realize that as well, while we may have these things that happen in our lives and we don't understand what's going on, there is that moment can be used for
something. Yeah, I think it's often too easy to read something in the Bible, and since you know the outcome, you can say, well, man, I can't believe they ever did that, or he ever made that decision, or she did that, or whatever. But, you know, like you said, at the time, they didn't know. You know, they didn't have the end of the story like we do. Yes, sir?
Yeah, the Hebrew writer reveals that the promised land, given the physical land, given to the physical people of God, it was prophetic of the rest given in the promised land of heaven. Mm-hmm. The kingdom given to the children of God is prophetic of the kingdom of Christ and ultimately the kingdom of God, by which we receive by inheritance as well. And then, of course, there's the promised blessing by which all men obtain eternal life. And no man enters into the land of heaven, no man enters into the kingdom of Christ unless they receive the promised blessing of Christ. So this is talking directly to us, as Daniel said.
Yeah. Just as he said, it's the same promise. So, anything else? Any last comments? No? All right. Well, thank you.